Today on Real Radio.
I'm certain that 1 minute in heaven, we would never come back here if given the opportunity. Yeah, but all my family will be sad. Let them be sad. Let them come to you. According to the Bible, you're not going to want to leave.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series called What Will Happen to You When You Die? It's a look at the first part of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, as well as other verses that speak of Israel's Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would suffer, die, and be raised bodily from the dead. Of course, this is the great hope of the true believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in his series called What Will Happen to You When You Die?
Where you hold worship in your so-called religion, what you believe is a direct dictate, indicator of your salvation or knowing God or not. If you are not a worshiper of God, it's because you don't know him as a God or the God worthy to worship. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say you believe in God and not be a worshiper. Does that sting a little bit? To the believer, it's like, let's worship some more. This is an important thing. Heaven is where Christ is. Heaven is where Jesus Christ resides. Heaven is where he ascended back up into the heavens, the atmosphere, to take the throne of God. Jesus is there. And this is a very soul-searching thing. That worship, the word, by the way, is proskuneo in Greek. Now listen, I'm sure God doesn't mean to offend us, nor do I mean to offend you. The word means to lick or to kiss the hand. It's used in the term of like a puppy licking your hand. Now you might think, well, I find that highly offensive. Wait. Proskuneo, to lick or to kiss the hand. When you think of a puppy or a dog, your puppy, have you noticed that they're very tender-hearted and very affectionate that way? God says we need to be like that, and believers are like that. Proskuneo, to worship, is to kiss, as it were, the hand of God. Now, anything solicited doesn't work. What I mean by that is this. I'll give you a real picture. I don't know what the deal is. I know that my granddaughter loves me, but when I say, give Papa a kiss, she won't do it. She just won't do it. And then her mom will say, give Papa a kiss. She won't do it. And then Grandma, Mimi, Lisa will say, give Papa a kiss. She won't do it. And I can threaten her. I can say, give me a kiss or else you're not going to, you know, whatever. It doesn't work. You don't do that stuff. What are you going to do with that? So what if she does? What if you say, give me a kiss or else you don't get any lunch? Okay, then I'll give you a kiss. Let me tell you, I'm not going to do that. Why? You know, that's false. But I will tell you, a couple weeks ago, we were walking and talking and being together, and out of nowhere, unsolicited, she kissed my hand. She just went, and I just went like this, thank you, God. Why? Unsolicited. Out of her own emotion, out of her own heart, out of her own volition, she did it. Warned my heart to no end. Understand this. Christ is in heaven. Are you like this, in a sense, in your spirit, longing to get to heaven? I'm excited for one reason. I am certain that he's going to change my voice in heaven. People don't recognize my face, but I'll open my mouth somewhere and they'll say, I know that voice. And I'll say, well, how did you know my voice? Well, you sound like Kermit the Frog very often. God will change, I hope and pray, my voice. I will worship God in a totality, in a completeness then like never before. And I can't wait for that day. Listen, I want to ask you something right now. Is the heaven that you're longing to go to, is it because Christ is there? What will happen to you when you die? Will your desire be realized when you get to stand before Christ and worship him and sing your praises to him that are all bottled up in your heart and in your tongue and on your in your throat right now? Will that day happen for you? I hope so. Does that drive your heart? Because, listen, you will die. And there will come a day when what's inside you will come out. And I say that this morning without apology. Are you a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Someday that is all going to come out in eternity. And you'll put a smile on the face of God. And you'll be absolutely joyous as you sing his praises. If now this morning you're saying, I don't do worship. I leave my house when worship is about to begin. I just get there for the message to do my religious thing. And in fact, when worship starts at the end of the message, I just get out. I run to get my car out of the parking lot and get out and get back home. Then listen, you've never worshiped in a day in your life. And your life's never been touched by God. And you don't know what it is to worship. And frankly, heaven would be a real drag for you. Christ is in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. You ought to circle that word, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where did he go? Heaven. How long has he been preparing it? 2,000 years. You see the word mansions? What's fun is to see what Bible commentators do with this word mansion. You know what the word mansion means? It means mansion. But we have to apologize or somehow make it's got to mean something else. The word actually means a vast dwelling place. Isn't that weird? We don't want to think about that. Bel Air's got mansions. Are we talking about actual mansion? I don't know. All I know is Jesus has been preparing it, whatever it is, for 2,000 years, and it has got to be cool. And that's where you're going. Wouldn't it be pathetic to live in a mansion in this life, to breathe your last, die, and wake up in a shack in hell? Wouldn't that be horrible? To have all of this earth's goods and never come to Christ and never realize that heaven is all about Jesus and have missed him when he said, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. I think it's cool because he's a contractor. Jesus was a carpenter. Think about it. The second thing is this, abundance. What will happen to you when you die? Well, you get to enjoy the abundance of God. From beyond heaven is where God's abundance is. That's an amazing thing. God's abundance. God's goodness, God's abundance, overflowing. Heaven is a place where God's presence, the scripture clearly tells us, is consuming all things. There's no place where God is not. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4, the Bible says, I believe Paul was speaking this about himself, that when he was attacked for preaching the gospel, you guys know that Paul was stoned to death. And I believe that he had an out-of-body, or what do you want to call it, a Christ encounter. In 2 Corinthians 12, 4, he spoke in the third person. It's interesting. He said that a man, he said, I knew, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. You want to think about heaven and the abundance of it, what it might be like? To get excited about it? Someone wrote a book, I forget the author, What Happened to Heaven? Because many people in the West have forgotten about heaven because we have it so good. Paul the Apostle said, heaven is such an amazing place, it would be unlawful to even write about it or speak about it. I find that funny because you can buy books that people said they saw heaven and they wrote a book about it when Paul the Apostle wasn't allowed to speak about it. A little bit of suspect on that. If anybody had the right to expose what he saw, it would have been the Apostle. And the Apostle Paul said, no way. It's beyond human words to describe. Are you going there? I hope you know that you're going there if you're trusting Christ. Jesus said that he's the door, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Are you going there through Jesus? It's all about the resurrection of the dead. that Christ rose again according to the scriptures? The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. That's a statement about salvation. Now you are a child of God if you've trusted Christ, if you believe in God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That is, what we're going to look like. We don't know exactly what we're going to look like. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. What an amazing moment that's going to be. Number three, what will happen to you when you die? Arguments from beyond the grave is this. It's where God's best is at. Heaven is where God's best is. God's best. And I don't know what you think about that, the best. What is the best? When you think about stuff, I was going to say, please don't think I'm goofy, but it's too late for all that. But do you guys, do you ever see things in life that to you are somewhat little moment, snapshot, glimpses of what heaven might be like or what eternity might be like? It could be a look, it could be the sound, it could be the feel. And it just touches you for a millisecond or a nanosecond of time? Just before you realize it's even in your heart to think about, it's gone. And it might be a breeze. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? And when those things happen where it's like, this is just about perfection. It could be a temperature even. I mean, I'm serious. It's like, oh my goodness, this feels so great. And you think about eternity for a second, and then it's like a window open and shut. It's like, thank you, God. Are these somehow God's little indicators, his little bit of salt and pepper, as it were, in this life for now, that Jack, the best is yet to come? Heaven is not going to be a place that we're going to walk around and tolerate. It's going to be a place where we are absolutely exhilarated with the reality of it. And I know, I've said this before and I've said it recently, but I know that if we really, really trusted our Lord with all of his works and all of his good word to us, that we would embrace heaven much more readily than we reject it. When I say reject it, I don't mean salvation in Christ. I mean, God, why am I dying now? Or God, why am I in this situation now? I'm certain that 1 minute in heaven, we would never come back here if given the opportunity. Yeah, but all my family will be sad. Let them be sad. Let them come to you. According to the Bible, you're not going to want to leave. It wouldn't even enter your mind anyway. Can you imagine? No. Can't imagine it. God's best. I love this picture I'm going to give you right here. It's a picture to me of a man who understood God's best and couldn't wait. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it's about Abraham. Hebrews 11, 8, watch this. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Stop right there, leave the verse on the screen. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've never read the Bible before and you're reading, what a stupid statement that is. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. That's okay. But he went out not knowing where he was going. Oh, no, 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 no. I want to know now the end, or else I'm not going. Not Abraham. Abraham had enough of an encounter with God in Ur of the Chaldees that this God of eternity spoke to him, and Abraham obeyed. He went out. He followed. Even in light of the fact he didn't know where he was going, he's following God. Look what the next verse goes on to say. Verse 9, by faith, Hebrews 11, 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, read it carefully, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he, Abraham, waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you know what's amazing about this statement? God promised Abraham a land. It's called the land of Israel, by the way. And I want to make this loud and clear. And you can go ahead and email this or send it to the UN just to upset them. Check it out. You want to talk about Israel? You want to talk about Israel's neighbors? You want to talk about the West Bank, Gaza, all this stuff? You want to talk about that? And people say, well, we need to go back. We need to have Israel go back to the 67 borders, 1967 borders. That's what this current administration, by the way, wants. Israel to go back to being 9 miles wide. Oh, yeah, really? I don't think we should stop at the 67 borders. I think we should go way back. Go way back pre-1967 borders. What, 48? Keep going. 1830? Keep going. 1205? Keep going. Go back to about, I don't know, maybe close to 3 BC. About 3,000, I'm sorry, BC. Let's go way back. Why am I saying this? Because God told Abraham, you see this land that goes all the way up through Lebanon, up into Syria, all the way over to Iraq and Iran? You see all the way down to Saudi Arabia and then over to Egypt? That's the land I've promised to you, Abraham. You say, well, that's never been realized. I know that. That's why the Bible says the Messiah has to come back to establish the kingdom. Send that to the UN. You think they got troubles now? Israel's just going to get bigger eventually. And when Christ returns, it is the ultimate. He establishes his kingdom. You know, that's not politically correct. I know that. That's why I said it. Hello, come on. It's amazing to think. God told Abraham, look at all that I'm going to give you. And you know what, Abraham? This basically, I'm making this part up now, this part. That's cool, God. Thank you. But in light of all that promise, which is amazing, I just want to be with you. I'm looking for you who's builder of the city that I'm looking for doesn't have human hands. I'm looking for that city, eternal in the heavens. That is God's best. Are you going to heaven when you die, and do you know it for a certainty, for a fact? You are to know this. No matter how good you've been, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how little you've sinned or how great you've sinned, you and I need the cross, and we need the resurrected Christ, and we need the forgiveness of sins, and you can't get to heaven without him. And when you die, are you going to go to heaven? Number four, it's God's desire. What will happen to you when you die? And this argument is that it's where God's desire is. It's where it's all realized. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done as it is in heaven. That's how we're to be praying now. Why? Because there's a day in eternity when all of that will be fulfilled. Listen to this. Jot this down. You and I will experience this someday. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 4. Now listen carefully, everybody. I want you to listen carefully. This gets pretty fun, pretty intense if you think about it. Revelation 21, 4. We're talking about eternity. You being there. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Mark it. For the former things have passed away. Mark that down. Now keep going, but mark it down. The things of this earth will be removed from your recollection. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. This is Jesus speaking. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty? He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Watch this. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sexually immoral is the word porneia and all the things that come out from it, which is massive, adultery and aberrant sex, all that stuff. Sorcery, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Stop right there. Well, man, that's what I'm living for, dude. I just want to live for myself. You wouldn't be happy in heaven. You don't want to be there, do you? If you choose now, today, and I'm going to ask you by the end of this message to choose Christ. And if I'm faithful to giving the gospel, some of you will choose Christ just by simply saying, amen, I thank God I'm a believer because you're already a believer. Some of you will choose Christ, I hope, for the first time ever. And some of you will make a decision and say, I don't want anything to do with Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a passage that really boils down the gospel, making it quite easy to understand. The title of this series within a series is indeed the all-important question, what will happen to you when you die? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through 1 Corinthians, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, every Friday here at Real Radio, I get to walk down the end of the hallway, grab Pastor Jack, and bring him in here for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. By the way, folks, if you've got a question for Pastor Jack, send it to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, Pastor Jack, this one comes from Mrs. O. She says, Dear Pastor Jack, I married a believer, yet as soon as we got married, his commitment to church declined. When we were dating, he always found time for me and the church. Now he says he needs to play soccer on Sundays because he needs the exercise. Our daughter is also asking, why doesn't Daddy go to church? Here's my question, Pastor Jack. As a believer, should I stay home with him and not go to church? Signed, Confused, Mrs. O.
Well, hi, Mrs. O, Confused. And listen, honestly, you don't need to be confused. First of all, let me say before I answer that question, is that this happens far too often. We hear about it a lot. And for anyone else who's listening right now that you may be engaged right now or dating someone, listen, I know this sounds oversimplistic perhaps, but I'd like you to consider it. Don't get involved with anybody whose spirituality does not impress you and whose spiritual commitment to Christ has not been tested. So having said that, by no means whatsoever should you be staying home. If your husband is neglecting his spiritual mandate given to him by God to take the lead, if he's divorcing himself from that and from the Lord Jesus, you get to church every week, even maybe if you want, a couple times a week. Take your child with you, or children with you. Take the lead, take the example, make the example happen. And listen, don't let anyone also play this card on you. Well, you need to submit to me and not go to church. Shouldn't you be a submissive wife? That is one of the most abused portions of Scripture. No, my dear, you get to church. Start going now every week. Take your child or your children in tow with you. And you just make sure that you set your eyes on heaven and that you get your child there. And I'm sorry to hear your situation, but you stay true to the Lord Jesus. Ultimately, we're married to God first.
But Pastor Jack, let me just throw this in here. What would you say to the believer who says, nah, prayer really doesn't work in this situation?
Well, listen, you pray. We are told to always pray. We are told to not stop praying. And so you keep praying. But by all means, based on Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, you do not forsake gathering together. Get to church, pray for your husband. Don't hound him, by the way. Don't bother him. Don't bug him. Just be the example and follow the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, follow him. That is not your husband. Follow Christ. And sadly, you know, you pray that God would work in your husband's life, that God would humble your husband, and that you'd release your husband over to God's dealing with him. But by all means, listen, there's no out for you to not go to church. You go no matter what your husband says.
Thank you, Mrs. O, for sending in your question. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.